Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 80.
81.
All right. Damn it. I don't know. Every week, bro. Every week. I just take a shot. I'm within like three every time. I just take a shot.
Yeah, as long as you're like within a couple episode numbers, yeah, you're good. Right. You're good.
It's all right. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're going to get close to 2 years coming up here soon. That's going to be kind of crazy.
Oh, my God.
Either way, episode 81. I am your host, Blue Squadron, joined as always by my co-host, Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon, VT, V before the T. I do a lot of end game content, such as Olin's, Party Boss Bits. I've been doing a bunch of new dungeon runs in the Orzeki dungeon to get a lot of my friends through their first clear. You can find me over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT, V before the T.
That's right. That's my boy. Now we have Blonde back. He is no longer on a wanted poster. He's actually here this week. Welcome back, Blonde.
Hello. What's up? I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear, where I do the new dungeon clear, hard mode, depose Crown Prince, and yeah, that's kind of what I'm about. So catch me there.
Right on. And our special guest on the show for the very first time, LB Yeti. LB, you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Yes, sir. Ski. Hey, guys, I'm LB Yeti. Nice to meet you guys. I am kind of one of the new guys in the Black Desert Online community. I re-roll my class a lot, is like what a lot of people like to say. I play a lot of classes almost every day. I'm playing a new class for fun. So it's a lot of chaotic and loud content over in my area, but I'm having fun and I'm here and I'm having a good time.
Right on. Well, LB, how long have you been playing BDO now?
I actually just hit 3,000 hours. Oh, like, just God. Hit 3,000 hours.
He's still a baby. He's yep. still a baby. Look at that. Oh, it's so cute. That's insane. Keep in mind, our hours are always inflated based on our AFK time. Honestly, I'm curious, Blonde, how many hours have you been playing?
I hit 50,000 hours, and then I stopped logging in.
Holy
I'm like right
cinema.
Around 50,000.
50K. Holy moly.
That is crazy.
I played since launch. So, I mean, I did a
it's
lot
true.
Of
He's been playing longer than me.
Fishing. And yeah. I think the only time I took a break was when Lost Ark came out. I literally didn't log in for a year because you couldn't run both games at the same time. So I played Lost Ark for a year. And then, yeah, that was it.
Nice. And Jay, how long have you been playing? How many hours?
I've been playing since 2018. According to my Steam, I'm at about 40,000 hours.
All right. And I am objectively better than Jaycoon VTV before the T in every way. Wait, I'm at 42,790. Suck it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, y'all's hours are insane in comparison.
But keep in mind, the vast majority of those are inflated due to AFK, but it's important that people outside the BDO community don't know that, so we can flex the hours. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, my God, this guy's a gamer. You know what I mean?
That let it be known, I've never AFK'd anything. So
that is BS right there. There is no way.
I've never AFK fished. I've never AFK'd done anything in this. No horse training. All 3,000 hours has been me streaming basically 14 hours a day, just here, just gaming.
You don't AFK at all? Can I ask why?
Like I guess the real reason why like I don't is because like I don't care that much, and like everyone's like telling me that like I'm inting all the time, so like I'm not AFK fishing, and like I kind of am. Oh. Like I can understand like the loss. You know,
journey, I thought you were going to say you turn off your computer like a normal person, but
that's what I was hoping he would say. I thought he was going to be like, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I'm broke as hell and can't afford the electricity.
No.
You know what I mean?
So I got a really nice computer, and I'm like trying also not to deteriorate it by living it on overnight. And like, I'm like, $2 billion in game, or like keep my really nice computer for the next 6 years, you know? So
Believe it or not, if you actually keep the computer on, the jump start at the start, your processor going from like really cold to really hot and back again is not as good for the computer as much as is keeping on. The only thing that really kind of wears down over the years. Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I've really like, and keep in mind, I've been playing BDO for like 7 or 8 years now, and my machine runs consistently all the time. It basically never breaks. The only thing I've heard is that, again, your fans can kind of break, so you got to watch your fans. But those are pretty cheap to replace as long as you watch those. But yeah, obviously there are things that can fail and you can save your computer. So there's cases on either side of the fence. I just found that very interesting because right now the current gameplay loop of BDO for most players is actually the opposite. You're like, I just don't care enough to AFK fish. Everyone else doesn't care enough to literally do any active play time at all. Everybody else just wants to AFK fish all the time.
But see, I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm like, yeah, I'm like very much the opposite. I'm having like so much fun with the game. And like, I have a lot of people that I do like a lot of things with. So it's like very fun and interactive, at least from my perspective and like what I do. So for me, it's like, I feel like I'm always doing something to where like, it's hard for me to even get off.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's insane. Yeah, like I mean I felt like I'd do the same thing with TNL. I log in, I play like super actively, but when I'm not playing, I just am logged out. But like there's no AFK activities to be really doing in that game. So you started out with Kunoichi, which is interesting.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever make a guide for Kuno?
No. I've had a lot of people like still like I just re-rolled off of my Kuno about I want to say 2.5 weeks ago. I was playing Kuno for years. Like basically I have like, I think like she's my most played class at like 600 to 50 hours or something like that. And Mystic was actually the first class I ever made. And I actually got her up to like 350 hours. And then I became a Kuno player. I'm still considering it, but I had to make the swap. So at least from my perspective.
Okay. Yeah. So when did you decided that you hated yourself? And started playing Kuno.
So I decided that I hated myself because I was playing like a brawly class, like a nice like bruiser brawly class, and I wanted to play like a rat class for the first time. And Kuno was hot, man. I'll be honest. Like the options were ninja or Kuno, and I was like, Kuno's got the thighs, and so I just went with Kuno. Like base. Like I started that way, man. You know what I mean? And we took it, we ran with it, and then it was probably the most annoying, hardest journey, I think, like, playing a class for me. I, like, really struggled with it for a long time. I was losing, like, every 1v1. Grinding was terrible. Everything was bad. And then yeah, later down the road, I was like, guys, I can't do this anymore, man. Grinding on Kuno is just miserable. All I do is AOS of this thing, Node War, I hate it. And so I swapped. I got off of it.
Yeah,
it took me out. When did you start playing BDO, like overall, like when did you, back in 2016, 17?
So BDO for me is kind of a blur, like in some of the years that I started. I have the Mountain of Eternal Winter title, okay? And so that is when I guess I made my character, like my first character in BDO. Because I think that's what, like the second oldest title, right? The longest is Land of the Morning Light, correct? That they give you?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I have the one second to oldest. I made a DK, was the first character I ever made. This is like before, I think it's like probably 2018.
You're goddamn right it was. And for the same reason. Guaranteed it was for the same reason.
Hey,
DK was pretty good.
DK was looking a little saucy. I'm not going to lie. So I made a DK. At the time, there was no succession, so my only options were Awakening. At the time, and I got bored of it. Not even gonna lie, not even gonna hold you. And I then made my Mystic, but I would say around that time is when I began, like 2018.
Traitor. I do remember because you that's around the time that I started. Like Steam release is when I started, and I played DK2 because she was the hottest class in the game with the coolest effects. Obviously. And that was a recipe for success. And when everybody left to go to Mystic, when she came out, like you did, I stayed on it and like just rode out the storm. It was like the genocide of the Dark Knights, bro. All of them, all of my people, we went from like literally everyone playing DK, and anyone that played back then knows basically everyone was playing DK. And then like Striker Mystic came along, and then Striker Mystic got buffed like 3 or 4 times, and DK got nerfed like 2 or 3 times. And then it was just like all of the Dark Knights disappeared and there were like none left.
Yeah.
It was insane.
There was actually a time period I was actually going to make a lawn, but I remember seeing like when I was a new player, I saw like lawns and stuff like flying around the skies like all the time. And I was like, man, I don't want to be like another Gnat. I was like, I don't want to be like another bug in the sky. There were just so so many of them, man. Yeah, like that. That's like what made me just not play Lawn. And so like I kind of have this weird like ick to Lawn still. Like I know there's not that many of them. I there kind of is, but like at that time they were everywhere, man. So like I still don't really play that class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I get it. She's just super hot, and that's probably why you looked at Lawn. You're never gonna beat the Gunnar accusations, but hey, I get it. I get it.
Hands up.
Yeah.
Caught.
That's right. That's right. So, Elvi, you've been a content creator for how long now?
I have been a content creator since September, I believe, is when I first got brought into the content creator program. I did take a hiatus for a little bit from content creation in general, not just BDO, due to some IRL stuff. But I am back now. This is like my first month and a half being back.
Okay, right on. Well, welcome back. I know that you're playing Throne of Liberty as well. I'm actually, you know what? I'm literally just going to ask you outright. Why do you like playing Throne of Liberty? What do you feel like draws you to that game? And why do you feel like you like BDO? Get like the same questions for BDO.
So I'm not going to lie. When Throne of Liberty released, I had a lot of fun like playing with you. I got to play alongside you. I got to play alongside Wutaru and a lot of other people that, you know, are homies over here in BDO in this space. And I had a lot of fun. I now have not played. I have actually quit Throne of Liberty for probably the past, I think, month and a half now.
I saw you logged in like 2.5 weeks ago. You were talking to me. I'm like, is that Elvi Yeti? You're like, yeah, it's me. What? We were in guild together, bro. You can't. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
okay, but oh okay, God. Okay, but I'm not. But I'm not playing. Okay, here's the thing. I will say, Throne of Liberty for me, like, really awesome game. Had a lot of really fun experiences, but I think that I don't fit in like a political environment. You know, I'm a yapper. I'm a yapper in a group. I'm memeing all the time. I'm loud all the time. So when I'm in a group of like 65 people, I feel quiet and then I feel like I can't, you know what I mean? So like, I want to like explode. Like I need to like talk. And so that's kind of, I stepped out, you know, I kind of stepped out of the game, but it's cool. But like,
so, here's the deal. You just described me. Okay. I'm a yapper. I'm loud. Like I always gotta be like, I'm obnoxious. Right. But like when everybody's in the room, see, the trick is, Elvi, you just tell everyone else to shut the hell up. And then you're the one that talk, right? That's you just got to be the shot caller. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the play.
You remember that though? I was doing that whenever I was like your flex player. I was your sleep bomber for a while. Mm-hmm. Like I would, yeah. And when wasn't you were fun? Like, is no one gonna say anything? I was like, blue, they're slept. And you're like, yeah. Thank you, Elvi. You yes. know what I mean?
So, yeah. And wasn't that nice? That was fun, right?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time.
You
got
to talk to your statics and stuff. Anyway, okay. So
yes, sir. You're
probably drawn to TNL for the PvP, right? But that means that
100%.
BDO, you've probably not done a whole, like, I mean, I know you're a battle arena rat, so you've done a lot of PvP, but not large scale PvP. You just don't like that very much, I guess.
Honestly, I actually do BA rat a lot. Okay. I do BA rat a lot.
You're a Kuno,
and I think
man.
That's because
it's part of your blood.
It is kind of a part of my history. And a lot of my community members love to just kind of go in the BA and spar with me. Like I said before, I'm tagging classes almost every, I'm gonna be honest, I tag a class probably every day, like a new class, purely because people ask questions like, hey, about this class. And I'm like, yo, I want to know too. Let's do it. And so I go to the BA a lot. I spar people. I teach people. We learn together type of thing. For me, I am a big advocate for small scale because I played a class that basically excelled in it. So I spent most of my time in there. So I did try my first ever Node Wars with Immune. Do you remember I was a part of Immune with Hatheros, like Arm and all them? They're really great people. And I was not having fun at all.
For those of you that
because
for,
I
real quick, that's the yeah, crawling that's just Crawling Chaos, guys. He was in Crawling Chaos. Anyway.
Yeah. So for me, I had a terrible experience, but the vibes are really nice because they're just really good people. So I stuck around. I did a few Node Wars with them. And then I was like, guys, I don't think this is for me. Fast forward now though. I was like, you know what? I want to try Node Wars again. I think I'm on my 10th or no, I'm probably my 14th Node War now. Mm. And I've been going as a Suk Mewa or a Awakening Mystic. And I'm actually having a lot of fun now. I've actually Hold on, pause.
Why do you hate yourself?
Hold on. I've actually been performing quite well. I'm actually going positive and dropping anywhere from like 28 to 30 plus kills. So I'm proud of myself because before I was like 3-kill Andy on Kuno and it was just not fun.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. The problem is the current node war system, you just don't have the same experience as the old node war system. So I think that if you had the experience of the old node war system, I actually think that you would probably enjoy it more. Sadly, even when they gave us back the old node war system, it's now only an hour, and it's dramatically different having a one-hour node war versus having a two-hour node war with the old system. It's just, it's really tough to kind of get into it for a lot of players. So that makes a lot of sense. But what keeps you playing BDO, like long-term? What keeps you grinding? Is it the gear? Is it like the small-scale PvP? What is it that keeps you playing the game?
I'm going to be honest, dude. I don't know. I'm just having like raw fun. I really love now. I think grinding was really redundant for me. I'm only 734 gear score now. I actually just tapped my neck yesterday in ring, so I kind of just propelled. Nice. But I just hit 734 gear score for me. I come from a place where like I was in a really awkward place with like the Debo stuff, and so all of my grind felt very. Like, I would put an hour in and only make, like, 600 mil. And, like, once again, I was a Kuno. I wasn't really making a lot of money. I wasn't playing a meta grind class. It was kind of rough. I had a very slow, annoying journey grinding. So that was rough. Now, with, like, the Land of the Morning Light zones, like, I like going to Honglum. It's fine. Like, Honglum, I think, for me, is a really good area for me to tag any class that I want and be able to grind perfectly fine, even if I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm at the AP and DP where I can explore more of the game that I've never been to before. There's a lot of places in this game I've never been. There's a lot of spots I've never even been to on Dekia. I just recently, for the first time ever, I think I've only been there for about a week and a half now at Trolls. I've never been there before. And I've been grinding there. I like it a lot. It's fun. Ellie, so,
I mean, this in the most respectful way possible. You are a textbook. Textbook BA rap.
You're right.
You reroll all the time. Really love Battle Arena and like small scale 1v1 classes. You hate grinding all the time.
No, I like it now.
Oh, yeah.
I like grinding now because I make money now. Before I made no money, I'm making money now. I like, okay, so here's the thing. I love PvPing. I love it. I love it so much.
Have
I
you tried the new RBF though?
Okay, RBF is kind of a touchy subject, I'll be honest.
Okay. Why is it a touchy subject?
My problem with RBF is I don't like the new system, and this is the only reason why, okay? First off, I'm not that geared, so when I go into RBF, I'm basically there to boost other people's egos, okay? So for me, before when I went to RBF, I'm like, all right, hey chat, we're all gonna, you guys wanna go QRBF? Let's go do some Valencia like 8 or whatever. Let's go do this, it'd be fun. And then boom, I'd have like 15, 20 people immediately click RBF. And I'd be like, hey, if you guys are gearlit, go to point 2. You know, if you can't handle the big fights, try to just keep your little fights over there if the best you can. Like I try to like kind of zone it a little bit the best I can. But I could always do it. Now it's like 2 a.m. and I'm wanting to do RBF with my chat, and it's 1 out of 40 people are queuing for, I'm like, now I can't even get in there. Now I can't even do my late night, hey guys, let's hop in RBF. It's just like, so like right now it's kind of touchy for me. So
Blonde Jay, you guys haven't spoken in a while. This is a tough subject for you guys. Have you guys tried the new RBF system before I give my take on it?
I have not. I don't really.
Shocked, really. Blonde, have you tried it yet?
I have not, and probably will never.
Okay. All right. So I have. So this is an LV and blue conversation. At least we have two perspectives.
Yes, sir.
I actually like the new RBF system, but the difference is I hit Wailing Fallen God yesterday. W me. But also, I have enough gear, like just barely hit that threshold. It's like a who's who of who's 70, 90 plus gear score, bro. Like it's a little rough. So I understand how somebody at 730 is just not, you're not having a super great time in there.
No.
I'm 760 and I'm keeping my head above water, right? But like, it's hard, you know, for lower players. But I think that the new RBF system is better than the old one, and I think it's really solid overall, mainly because the rewards are, like, I'll be honest, the old RBF system, I don't know. I like the fact they took away the DR thing. They changed the arena. There's no more spawn camping. And then, like, the matchmaking is, like, whatever. I don't really care about that as much. But the rewards are the best part because you can lose. If you lose all, what, like, six matches in an hour, you make, like, 300 mil an hour. But if you win all of them, you make over a bill. So there's that. So, like, you're making, like, you know, 500 to like 800 million an hour doing RBF. I think that's really beneficial for a lot of like the end game players. But like, you're right, it's a super niche game mode, and that was my concern with it in the first place as well. We'll move on to something that Blonde and Jay can talk about.
I actually had something I wanted to ask you guys. Okay, so I remember Yeti mentioning to me that he's been a content creator, Twitch streamer for like 9 years. What other games did you stream back then for like the last 9 years? And also a question for everybody here, like, if you weren't making content for BDO or for the MMO space, which one would it have been instead? Like, would it have been like, you know, a battle royale or like a first person shooter, or maybe like, you know, being a League player or something like that? So
would you like me to answer first, or I can go last?
Yeah, go ahead, LDN.
Up to you, whatever. Yeah.
All right. Well, yes. This month marks my 9 years of streaming. I will be streaming for 9 years. I originally started out as an Overwatch content creator. Oh. I started out playing the game of Overwatch is what I began with, and a little bit of Rocket League. I actually originally wanted to start streaming because I really liked, I was actually very, very kind of like reclusive IRL. But when I was playing video games, I was having so much fun that like a lot more of my personality actually came out. And when that's when I decided that I wanted to start streaming, but I was also really good at FPS games. So I competed in a lot of things. So I started out with Overwatch. I was a part of a top 500 and Grandmasters Overwatch team, and I played in like a league with people. And then when I played Rocket League, I was also a grand champion Rocket League player, and I also played in tournaments in Rocket League, which was the highest rank at the time. And then fast forward, I played a lot of that for many years. Probably about like 4 years is a big chunk of those games. And then I want to say, like, there was a weird period I was playing like a lot of variety, and then I moved into Valorant. Okay, when Valorant released, all my content move straight into Valorant. I grew very fast in the Valorant community because I was a top 500 Valorant player. I was top 1500 in North America, and I played on many teams. I coached many teams. I coached many players. I was very vocal. Oh. I was an IGL and co-IGL and flex player. And then I decided that I should retire. And that's when I wanted to become an MMO content creator, because MMOs are always a passion of mine. They're always something I played off stream.
Just what old people play, bro.
Yeah, so I had, but from my understanding is when you play these FPS games, you're surrounded with just high schoolers all the time. Okay.
Ooh.
And I couldn't mentally, like, you get to a point where it's like, when you're at like the top, right, and people have these expectations of you of like, oh, if you play really good, you're sweating, and if you play really bad, you're trash. And then they'll like clip every moment that they finally kill you. They'll clip every moment that, like, it's just like high schoolers get very attached and weird, and they yap a lot and they talk a lot of garbage for no reason. So for me, it was just kind of it was just kind of exhausting. And so the MMO space, everyone's adults, and I feel like I can have some good conversations without people just being like. Mm-hmm. Like children.
Adult is such a strong word for some of our PvP community, but
no, I know, I get that. I don't want to bring it up, but I've had some interactions with that. But like, I definitely understand, like, how even like in the MMO community, there's definitely some adults that like aren't really adulting the right way. But for me, this feels like a very much more like relaxed space. Like, it's like I can just be myself. I can just have a lot of fun. Performance isn't an issue. Like, no one cares if I'm doing amazing or not. Everyone just memes on me regardless, and I'm just having fun with it.
Yeah, so, wait, would you guys Believe me if I said that I originally wanted to be a League streamer.
Yes.
No.
I believe it.
I know. You couldn't imagine it. Okay, so but how it started.
There's no golems that, in Well, what? Actually.
He's getting a
he was a jungler.
Okay, you know, I was originally a Twitch frog for a lot of the period of time during the early days of Twitch. You know, I used to watch a lot of Diarist, Tyler One, the offline TV crew with like Lily Pichu, Skara, Boxbox. I wasn't very good at League, but I enjoyed just watching it and wanted to get good enough to stream it. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I ended up quitting because, you know, the competitiveness of people on League became a bit much, but I do still occasionally keep up with like League content, like knowing who the next champion is. And also Riot just makes really good music and also animated series. So yeah, but what about you guys, Blonde and Blue? What kind of, if you weren't doing MMO streaming and content, what kind of streamer would you have been instead?
Okay, Blonde, I'll let you go first.
Unironically, the first thing I ever streamed was League of Legends.
OnlyFans, right?
There it is. That's crazy, bro.
League of Legends is like
Blonde IRL. It's not even the craziest idea.
League of Legends was one of the first games ever streamed on my Twitch channel, but I slowly realized I don't want to ever play this game again. And so I streamed like a bunch of different games, but it never really went anywhere because I just didn't commit a lot of time to it. And then when BDO came around, I gave it like a real try. Put a lot of effort into it, networked a lot, grew a lot, and, you know, I played it since, like, the launch, and just kind of from there, you know, I think a lot of my luck streak is what brought it, but if I wasn't doing BDO, BDO is the primary reason I was streaming in general, to connect to the community. You do a lot of long grinding hours, so it's like, you know, you need someone to chat with once you've watched every TV show while grinding, right? But if I wasn't doing that, I mean, at this point now, I mean, it's probably going to be RuneScape because I really only stream video to do the boss blitz and stuff. So, I mean, it's probably going to be RuneScape. It's probably what I'm going to be doing.
It's an MMO, Blonde!
I didn't really play anything else. I only play MMOs. I can't play single player games or other stuff, shooters, nothing. I can't do any of that. A lot of like what I enjoy about like games is like the fact that you have friends and you can show your friends what you got and your friends can show you what they got and you motivate each other to play more. I think it's a big motivator in BDO, so it's really hard, or just in MMOs in general. So like it's really hard to play, for me personally, the way I like games, it's really hard to play anything but an MMO, you know?
So people are probably interested. First game on my channel was League of Legends as well, but that was a long time ago, and I only did it for...
We all came
from... That's crazy. Humble origins, right, guys? Crazy.
Well, I only did it for, like... God, it was, like, a week or two. I didn't really do it very often. and, like, I don't know. I wanted to be, like, a big League streamer, but I realized, like, I don't want to be big because I'm good. I would like to be big because I'm making people laugh, right? Like, I want to make fun of stuff and, like, make fun of myself and whatnot. So, like, I gave up on that, and then I started playing BDO as my main game for a long time. And like Blonde said, I networked in it, and it worked out. If I could choose any game to make content for that wasn't BDO nowadays, StarCraft 2, I would shoutcast StarCraft 2 games, probably.
Oh, really?
Put on tournaments
RTS
for them.
Games, okay.
Yeah, almost all of the content that I consume outside of, like, on my free time, like when I'm vegetating and bed rotting, is like professional Real? StarCraft 2 matches. I keep up with the pro scene. I watch it all the time because I was a StarCraft 2. I was in top of Diamond.
Like old.
Yeah, top of Diamond when Wings of Liberty was out. I'm Masters in Legacy of the Void. I've been playing it forever. I love it. Now I just play co-op Commander all the time, but it's a fun game. But like the problem is the scene for the game is kind of dead. So like I don't know if I would stay in StarCraft 2, but it is something I would consider doing. Mm-hmm. Another game is Naraka: Bladepoint. It's one of my favorite games.
That game is so gas.
The game is extremely good. I have a problem, like, Naraka, it's kind of a tough game to make content for, so that's another thing entirely. But I think that nowadays, if I could go to a space, it might be the League scene. If I had to like stop making MMO content, I would probably go to the gacha space and the League of Legends scene.
Because Genshin Impact. Genshin Wallet.
No, I did not say Genshin. Weathering Waves. Oh. Okay. Weathering Waves is where it's at because the combat is really
Withering
cool.
Wallet.
Okay. Like, okay, buddy.
Nice. Withering Wallet.
All right, buddy. But like, see, Wuwa has a lot of the same characteristics of BDO. Super hot women, really good combat. Like that's what I'd be looking for. Yep.
That's what you need.
I would like that, but I can't play that all the time. So my version of League of Legends content, and I might actually start doing this, I don't know, is to take viewer submitted like low level games and just roast the shit out of people. Kind of like Salty Teemo with commentary, you know, drawing on the screen and stuff. I already do this for TNL. I did this in BDO for a long time. I actually think that nobody really does this in League. I think that I would be pretty good at it, but I don't know. I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought because I've been so focused on TNL and BDO lately. So interesting thought, though. Or interesting question.
I want to make a comment on what you said earlier. Is like you stepped away because you didn't want to be known for being good. You want to be known for your personality. I felt that to my core when I transitioned into MMO content. Like I had this talent and people still bring up like, oh, Yeti, like when are you going to play Valorant again? It's like, Valorant, you're so locked in. You know, like
you
I would
be
my personality would show after I destroyed everybody. My personality would show. I'd be loud. I'm having fun. I just like clutch 1v5 like that would show. But like here playing this game, like, yeah, like Blumber said, you get to have long conversations. Like my personality at all times is being shown, and I'm starting to be seen, and people get to see who I am all the time. And that's why I think that my channel has been growing the way it has been growing, and that I've been having so much fun is because like, I think I'm myself at all times. There's no like me got to lock in like silent moments.
There's a lot of content creators that have grown out of BDO because they harness a community that's centered more around them. Like the game is almost like the background, and the personality of the streamer is like the primary thing you're focusing on. The conversations you have, the connecting to the community. I feel like that's a lot of BDO compared to like a lot of other games where I agree, like Valorant, it's like, you don't have a moment to like, oh, I can like look at chat and you're like only playing the game and people are just watching the gameplay, not the conversation or the individual.
Even the content creators, like I've made like I have like no friends in that whole scene.
Yeah.
Like almost nobody. Like I have probably two genuine friends that I could name that are really good friends of mine in that entire scene for my years of playing. In my short time in BDO, I feel like I've made genuine friendships. I've gotten to play alongside so many of the creators in this space and make genuine, like funny and hilarious moments and collaborations. Like everything just feels so genuine for all of the interactions that I've had. And it's just made me so happy. It is like a breath of fresh air. Finally, you know,
Actually just to piggyback off of that, what you had mentioned about, you know, meeting other people, I want to say that Olin's Valley was the main reason I started streaming. So some Jaken lore. So during this time, there was this new endgame party grind spot where you're fighting this giant golem and had, you know, dangerous one-shot mechanics. And it was not anything BDO has ever had before. And I was super excited to start doing it. And I was literally asking people left and right. And after some kind of like, you know, networking here and there, DMing people, building that circle of people to do party grinding with, I started meeting people in the content creation space like Blonde Bear. I remember one of our first grind sessions together, I was like a bit starstruck. I was like, cause he's like one of the OG content creators back in the day. And I remember him saying how he felt the same way towards me. I'm like, what, there's no way. Like I post little YouTube videos here and there, you know.
I love Jay's old YouTube videos, bro. He posted so much stuff. He would post good meme videos and stuff, and I was like, bro, we would always be chatting in Discord when grinding. I'm like, you should just stream, man. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, bro, stream.
I was mostly a yapper in those calls, and then also Choice was another person who I'd met through doing Olin's, right? And so they said the same thing to me. Both of them said, like, why haven't you started streaming yet? And I had never really considered streaming because, you know, for the most part, I treated content creation as just like a hobby, not something I would really like dabble further in. But then I did dabble, and I had a lot of fun dabbling, you know? And then during this time, I was also introduced to the whole idea of VTubing. I saw VTubers like Angeli, Kalia, Wutaru, and Ellie. Yeah. And all of them were like super kind in answering. That's also another person that started with BDO. I'm pretty sure Ellie was one of like the first people who like VTubers in BDO that grew really, really big in the BDO space. And then she transitioned out of it and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
But yeah, they were very helpful in answering all my questions and inquiries of how to get started with the whole VTubing and all that jazz. And then bam, it was VTuber Jay came out of the woodworks. I think I was also really, really, really lucky with the timing of when I started to, because this is when BDO started doing Twitch drop events, like, you know, those permanent Twitch drop events. So there was like this huge spike of people just watching BDO streams. And that helped me, like, you know, people would just raid each other, right? And help me grow my audience. And So when I started streaming, it literally was like the first month I got into the BDO partner program. There was no content creator program before. There was not like a level one to level two. It was just like the one level. And so I got into the first month, and then the second month, and then because of all the raids and stuff, I applied for a partner on Twitch. Bam, two months into streaming, I got partner. So people were saying like I ran like partner program for both Twitch and BDO. But it was crazy.
I want to add is I don't want to give Blue too much credit, but like he deserves it. But there are two creators that I know in this space that I am very grateful for, because I don't think that I would have like been as motivated and as like confident in this space if it wasn't for Blue and if it wasn't for Zeroden and also Chris. Okay, because I was a new guy in the space, and Blue came to my stream at like midnight because I'd stream until who knows when. And he was just having a good time and then complimenting me and calling me a BA rat, as he still does now, because I was in the BA. Okay. But like telling me like, yo, this space is great. All the people are great. You'll have a good time here. Like blah, blah, blah. Making me feel welcomed, which is not something that is common from where I come from in all of my past history. You know, making me feel like this is a home. This is a cool space to be in. And if it wasn't for like Zeroden and Chris that came to my stream, they're like, yo, your personality is incredible, man. Like your vibes, your energy, you need to like apply for the content creator program here. I didn't even know it existed. Like I just hanging out. And I was like, I don't know if I should do that. Like I just got here and I don't know anything, you know, but I did. And I got in, and like ever since then I've been able to do like the content events and stuff, and I've had fun, and I've met so many people. But like, I just want to say to Blue, like, don't want to glaze you too hard, you know what I mean? But like that night, you were the first person.
So I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, you were the first person to like pull up and be like, "Yo, like welcome in." And I am grateful for that. And I applied for the first time in my past 9 years of streaming. Today was the first day that I've ever applied to be a Twitch partner. So
Poggers?
With that motive, I said
9 years, damn.
They're going to deny you. I'm just gonna put it down right now. They always deny you. Yeah, screw you. I'm gonna tell them how it is. They always deny you the first time, and then assuming you still have it, you apply again. They'll give it to you.
Absolutely. The thing is like I'm motivated. I'm okay to be denied, but you have like as long as I've been going at this, to even finally be able to click that button. Like there are people in this space that I'm very grateful for the motivation and to tell me that like this is a good this is a safe space, you know, for me, and like people would appreciate who I am here, and I get to just be myself and have fun. So I'm proud of myself and I'm happy, and if they decline me, we're gonna keep balling. We're gonna just keep going
applying.
Yeah, right,
I'm gonna keep going. I'm having a good time. I don't care if it takes 10 apps. It's the fact that I'm eligible now to be able to hit that button. Yeah.
No, it's huge.
It's something that I'm happy
while
with.
We're glazing people.
I was gonna say earlier, Vebe, Kaiora, and Ellie are all people that, you know, Jay mentioned the VTubers. Those people all grew from this category too. And I mean obviously we mentioned Ellie, but Vebe is like a classic. I remember sitting here chatting with her all the time.
It's crazy like thinking about days,
right?
Yeah, I remember during the Olin stays, Blonde was like, "Oh, yeah, I know, baby. We're in like DMs together." I'm like, "What? You know?"
I know, right? It's so weird to think about that now.
I know somebody who knows somebody.
That's crazy. Like the time that I was on Asmongold and Jay, "Mom, I made it on Asmongold," because you were like on the thumbnail or whatever.
I was one of them. I was there for like a couple frames.
It was crazy. Like Mike Wazowski in Monsters, Inc. Like, I'm on the cover of a magazine.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So, Ellie,
that's so good.
Part of the reason, like, you're absolutely right. In other, like Twitch spaces, people are only ever going to talk to you and give you the light of day if you have viewers. Like, that's just like every other Twitch space that I've typically been in. No one is going to give you the time of day unless you have viewers. And I recognized that really early on in the BDO space. And like, our streamers are a lot different in that we like to like raid and welcome like the newer streamers in the category. So I think our top dogs do a really good job. But one of the things I like to do is I like to go to the newer streamers in the category. Sometimes when I'm spending my time, I'm going through my analytics and stuff, I'll be clicking through like the lowest streamers in our category to see, you know, who's new to the game, who's got potential and stuff. And part of the reason I stopped on your stream is because, as you said, you've got the potential there, kid. And I call you a kid because how old are you?
I am 24. I will be 25 this year.
Yeah, you're a kid. I'm 32. I'm about to turn 33 in a few days. In like 2 months. Like 2 months. Why does that hammer sound keep happening? Why do I keep hearing that?
I added a soundboard.
Oh my god. Okay, buddy.
Oh wait, that's not. Yeah, there we go. We want somebody to hype us up.
But yeah, no man, I feel that the BDO space, not just me, but I think Choice does a great job. Bicep does a great job. Most of our top streamers, some of our top streamers, not so great. but like most of the people towards the top of our directory are super down to earth, reasonable people that want to see everybody succeed. And we all are trying to look out for each other. And it's not like streaming is content creation is an extremely competitive space. Especially outside of BDO, we're in a pond here. We're in a really small pond here, and our content creators are pretty good about like making sure that everybody eats a little bit. Yes, you know what I mean? And we're all rating each other.
And that means a lot to me.
Right, like we're all trying to help each other. Like you go outside this space, even in the Throne of Liberty space, bro, it's cutthroat. You go to the World of Warcraft community, you got some Viewbot and Andes in there. You got people like it is cutthroat. It is every man, woman, and shy for themselves. You know what I mean? It's cutthroat. Yeah. So, I'm glad that we have this space here and that our creators have cultivated that. You mentioned something that now I want to talk about because we have people in here who all have different experiences with this. The Black Desert Creator Program. There are two creator programs. There is the like the content creator program, and then there's the partner program. The partner program is like the big boys, and then the content creator program is a system that Delphi and the the community management team dreamt up a long time ago to try to help the newer streamers get visibility in the category and keep like encourage them to make content for the game. And Elvi, before any of us give our jaded opinions or our positive opinions or anything, I'm curious about what your raw opinion about the content creator program is. Please understand that you're being recorded and they will immediately remove you.
Absolutely.
I'm just kidding. But what's your opinion on the creator program?
So my opinion is that I've never actually had the opportunity to be a part of a creator program. For me, I think that there are some really cool opportunities that the creator program has created for me. I do like participating in the events when they happen. I would like the events to be more frequent. I think that that'd be really cool because I feel like a lot of the creators here don't know each other. And there's kind of like small little circles of people that know each other. And then there's a lot of people I'm still meeting people. I'm meeting other creators that I didn't even know they were a creator or a partner for BDO. Like, especially like partner. I would think.
Who are you?
That's what it is. Like, there's people that I'm like, I have no idea who they were. And they're like, oh, like Yeti, like that's so-and-so in your chat. I'm like, oh, hey, man, how you doing? Like, I had no idea. So like, I'm trying to like, you know, and I like the last event that we had was like the AOS event where they basically gave everyone a class that they were inexperienced in and they put teams together. That was really cool. Like I got to interact with other creators that I probably never would have interacted with. Like just because my content, what I do is I'm very loud. I'm very loud and I can talk like this, how I'm talking for literally 14 hours straight nonstop. This is just the energy that I am. And there's some creators that are a lot lower energy, la la la. And I'm just I don't see how our paths would cross any other way than you just slammed us together, you know? So to me, those type of things are really cool. The value pack's dope, you know, that's pretty gas. I can't lie. Other than that, like, I don't feel like I have anything wrong other than like, I just want more events. I want to be able to interact with people more. I have created some very great friendships. I think C-Zane and I hang out a little too much together. I think him and I are probably the like one of the loudest duos, and we duo and friend. Hang out. We hang C-Zane and I hang out in VC all the time. We just call each other and we just have a good time. We're just yelling and laughing and memeing just nonstop. That is something that I feel like wouldn't have really been possible without like these creator events, you know? Is like you kind of like realize like, oh man, we mesh. Like we're our personalities like mesh real well. So I think it's dope. I think it's fine, but I think there should be more, like a little bit more events. I think that'd be nice for me, you know, if I throw a little sauce in.
I will hold my tongue until the end of the discussion, until since the end. I am the black sheep of this particular conversation. Blonde?
Yeah, what's the question? I'm sorry.
Oh my God, Blonde, you are never beating the blonde.
I was listening to his response
and
I was very locked in, but I don't remember what locked.
Do you feel the BDO that you're in the partner program? So Elvie's in the creator
not
program.
Not anymore.
Which is, wait, really?
Yeah, I don't wait, I don't really stream that much anymore, so I'm not really meeting the requirements.
They removed you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Okay, well, as an ex BDO partner, welcome. but for real though, while you were in the partner program, did you feel supported by Perlabis? Did you, or like, what did you like about the program? What did you not like about the program?
I liked the free value pack. That was cool. I liked being able to connect to some of the content creators and stuff. That was nice. I always liked participating whenever they were looking for like hype volunteers for stuff. You know, there's been a lot of stuff like that where they do, back when Odalita like launched, or around the launch time of Odalita, Enlave did like the D&D adventure stream or whatever, where we like ran around the map and there was like a team of players doing stuff. That was really enjoyable. I really wish they would do something like that again, but I understand the production value for that kind of thing is like massive, and they have to put many hours of work into that. So I love participating in those things. Anytime they need a hype guy for like, you know, I've gone to the Oasis events. Those are really cool. Anytime they need someone for like the Jeopardy events, or they're wanting someone that's like, you know, I love talking about BDO. I'm really excited. People call me like I'm bought up by, you know, PA or whatever, but you know, it's a fun, good game. I like chilling, I like grinding, and I like being hype about the events. Because a lot of times, a lot of people can tend to be awkward during those events where they're not like hyped up, and it's like, let's go, guys, you know, let's get the chatting. And everybody's just kind of nervous, and it's like, I like going to those events and being like the semi-hype guy. Which is funny, because like opposite in my streams, I'm like very just like laid back, chilling, just chilling and grinding. Right. So, you know, there's stuff like that's fun, but I don't know. Like LV Yeti said, I've never done like partnerships with other companies, so I don't have like a way to really gauge how great it is, although I've seen plenty of feedback about the partner program. You know, I felt like I was getting whatever I wanted out of it, but I'm also not a like a larger content creator who's putting out like a YouTube content and setting up events and stuff. So for me, like, I can see why someone doing that kind of stuff would feel a little jaded versus me being like, hey, I just turn my stream on and chat and I'm grinding and you know, I get what I need, so it's like whatever to me. But
yeah,
you know,
I have a bonus that I'd like to add, but I'll add it at the end.
No, go ahead. Well, before we get Jay's about to deep throat.
Go first. Go first.
Okay. No. I will say that, like, I feel the one thing that I think is like a little blurred line for me is like, what are the standards of what and what? Like, who in the category represents what a BDO partner is? And who in the category like is the stand that represents as a creator? I do feel like I got in pretty easy, but I also think that I would like to hold myself up to a higher standard. I feel like I try my best to put out really good, high quality production content. I try to make sure that you know, I mean, I'm not trying to say I try to be very PMA. I'm just having blissful fun, as like I'd like to call it, and I feel like I'm just having a really good time. So I'm talking really good about the game. So I think that the environment that I create is high quality, but like, I'm a little confused on some of the standards in what is a creator versus a partner, because I definitely want to shoot for being a BDO partner 100%.
Well, then you get a value like pack and a common blessing and a Book of Old Moon instead of just
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that I have the quality of what it takes to be a BDO partner. But that would obviously come down to what their standards are. But that's just something that I don't know, because it from looking around, it seems like a very blurred line, and I don't really know.
It gets just a numbers thing, right? You start usually as a you start as the content creator and then you eventually go up to partner. I think it's literally just numbers. Like, there is some I agree. There is like a semi-blurred line where it's like if you're an exceptional content creator for something particular, they'll as they've said in the application and stuff, they're like, listen, for some people will accept them if they don't meet the recs because they're someone special in the community. I probably think that that's why I got stuck in it for the last 6 months because I have been slacking hard, but eventually they're kind of catch and release fish wise. But I think that I think it's a little bit of numbers, but it's also prominent members in the community that are, again, positive PMA members that, are promoting the game in a healthy, positive way. I think it's something that they want, obviously, partnered up with the game and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was basically what I wanted to add.
Right on. Yeah. Jay, you're still a BDO partner, right? You're still a good boy?
I am the only partner left, apparently.
He's the only BDO partner in the call. Okay, so as the only representative BDO partner here, in good standing with the company, do you feel that BDO, keep in mind Jay's listening, do you feel supported by the partner program? And you've been in the program for a few years. Do you feel that that support is equal to what it was 2 years ago? Or do you think that it is this there's more or less?
Okay, so when I approach content creation, this is the first time I've been sort of more, I guess, directly involved with the game that I'm playing. This is the first time I've ever been doing anything kind of like this, and it's been a really amazing experience because I'm not I didn't approach content creation with the mind of making it into a career, but more so just a hobby, right? And so to be approached like this, to be able to be a part of this program like this, it's really, really cool because you get these opportunities where I've been asked a few times here and there to be part of official streams, those game show streams, or I've been on those with other partners and like that. I wish there was more of that. That was really, really fun. They had I tried to do my own thing with the whole Jeopardy game show that I did way back when. Blue was actually one of those. I think Blue and Blonde were one of those for season one and season two. I never did more seasons because they did not. So those two streams were more so approached. They were asking partners to can you host an event and stuff like this? And you would go through the whole I would go through with Delph, both Delph. For both seasons of Pen or Pry was very involved with helping me get that set up. And that's why I did it in the first place, because he was super helpful, but Delph's gone now. And then after that, I haven't really done anything similar of that caliber before, but it was a really fun time. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully both Blue and Blonde had a lot of fun doing those game shows with me, but
love them.
I had fun. I think those
opportunities. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So if you guys don't know, for season two, it was Uni.
Talk about this.
It was Uni, Blonde, and Blue. And I was kind of biased towards Blonde because he's kind of that lore guy and had a lot of lore questions. And for some reason, Blue knew all of them. Also, I guess he also had a lot of I know. And for some reason, he had the best ping. And he was able to just spam that button right
mm-hmm.
But those events, so in comparison to you had your question with how is it now compared to before? I would say I had a lot more fun with the partner program before, but also right now I'm kind of in that time of my life where I'm just slowing down more so on the whole content creation thing and focusing on what's my future like and stuff like that. I don't think streaming will be in that future because that's just not my plans going forward, and so we're just slowing down, getting a real job or something. But that's another whole conversation to be had. Content creation is a real job, but that's
interesting.
Again, a different conversation.
Have you ever thought about AFK streaming at the top of the category with a bunch of viewers and pretending to have drops instead of getting a job?
I did not think of that. I've seen people do that, and I don't think it's for me.
It's interesting. Yeah, different approach, I suppose, than some of our
different
other streamers. Approach,
yeah,
different approach. Okay.
But yeah. Go ahead.
All right. And the answer that we're waiting for. So I went through. It's funny because I'm different than all three of you. LV's in the creator program. Mm-hmm. Blonde was in the partner program and got removed. It's never been the lower creator program. Jay is a partner and was never in the lower creator program. I came up through the lower creator program, then was in the partner program, was kind of the golden child of the partner program for a while until I until I wasn't, and then was removed from the partner program, and now here we are. So my opinion of the BDO partner program, if you rewind two and a half years when Delphi was in charge of it, and it's not just Delphi, but like the way that Pearl Abyss approached their creators and their support for their creators was much different back then. It was much more so, we're going to encourage you to run your events and we're going to try to support your events, right? And like I prospered in that environment. It did a lot for me. Like the creator program back then, I would basically abuse the fact that like I would run some big event. I would prepare and run some big event, whether it be a tournament or I don't know, the Ren Fair or something. Like, I don't know. I ran a million events back then for various different reasons. And I would always get like an in-game shout out or whatever. And the most important thing was the in-game shout out. And then somewhere along the line, Delphi ended up leaving the company. And then and he told me that support for the creators was going to start declining. And I didn't really know what he meant at the time. But I think that ultimately what that meant is that Pearl Abyss Korea cut off support for their partners. They ended their partner program altogether. They just removed it. And right around the time that they ended their partner program in Korea, they all of a sudden, the NAEU partner program started going downhill in terms of the support that you could receive, whether it be for your events or how many contracts they were offering or, you know, the various things that we could do during the year. And I still kept running my events and stuff as I was a partner at the time. But like every time I would apply for an event, there was always some excuse why they couldn't help with the event for one reason or another, whether it was the most inclusive event or what inclusive event that I've ever run or what have you. They just they wouldn't support it. And then after a while, and again, I still feel it's this way. You'll notice that in every single answer that we had here so far, not a single one of you said, yeah, I feel like they're promoting me to run events and make more content in my stream, which is what I feel that the creator program is supposed to be there for. That is kind of the purpose of the program, is to encourage the content creators to make content for the game, because that increases circulation for the game, which increases player retention. It also increases new players playing the game, etc. That's the whole point of the program, and I do not feel that it is currently meeting that purpose. You'll notice that all of our partners, how many partners have run events in the last year? Almost none. I'd say like Choice, I think, had an event, Zeradin's had an event, and like maybe one or two others have had like solid events, but that's it. Like, and maybe they're running like one event a year. And how many creators do we have in both programs, right? Like, and this is like partially on the content creators. Yes, a fair amount of them are lazy. I mean, Blom basically admitted it. He was like, yeah, so the value pack's great. I'm kind of just coasting for the value pack. And then he coasted a little too far.
Hey, I will say, I actually have an event that got approved. That's tomorrow. I actually love events. I'm doing a hide and seek event that is going to be alongside with C-Zane and Kiwi. That we are all three going to be hunting the community, and it's going to be a hide and seek event, and it got approved with PA support. I actually am the type of person that I want to run events all the time. This is actually my second ever event, and I would like to run more, but I don't, like, since I'm the new guy, I don't know how often I can. That's the thing. So like I have pretty bad anxiety. So like for me, I know that's like hard to believe because I'm so like loud and out there, but like I do. And so like for me, it's hard to like be like, okay, hey, I just did an event. Can I ask for another? You know what I mean? Like, well, I want to do it all the time, man. I want to keep going. Like, I want to have so much fun. I have so many ideas and so many things I want to do, but I'm like, will they support it? Am I asking for too much?
I got you. Don't worry. I have the inside track and I'm not under NDA. You're good. So the way that they used to handle this in the past, again, I was the partner, Jay Blonde, you guys know, I was the guy that always was running events. Okay. I was always doing that shit. Okay. Like, that's just how it is. So Delphi and I had a long conversation about it at dinner while I was there. He said he basically has a certain budget for event. I don't know if this is how it's still running. Okay. But this is when he explained it to me. They have a certain budget for events. Most of that budget is supposed to be allocated to the partners, but our partners are lazy as shit. And so they don't do very much. So anything that extra that the partners don't use is allocated to the creators. Well, the creators are lazy as shit too and don't like to run stuff. I think Striker 500, yeah, somebody said that Striker had an event a few weeks ago, like a month or so ago now. And that was great. But again, not very many events going on, given that there's hundreds of creators in both programs together. Yeah. You know, you're getting like one or two events a month total. There's a lot there. So like you can absolutely do it. What is the support? Sounds I'm curious. Great. What's the? Are you allowed to say what's the support they're providing for the event?
Yeah, yeah. So right now it is. If you are the last person found in the Hide and Seek event, you get a premium outfit box. If you are the second to last person found, you get a classic outfit box. And if you're the third to last person found, you get a premium elixir box. Now keep in mind, this isn't what they offered. This is what I requested. So I just thought up my own ideas of like thought.
But they approved it, and that's good.
They approved it. So they are supporting it.
Yeah. Yeah. But are they giving you an in-game shout out?
I am getting an in-game shout out.
That's the most important thing.
My event is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm getting my in-game. I requested that my in-game shout out be at 1:45 for any last minute signups.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing about the event. That's what you have to understand is the outfits be damned. As a content creator, you need the visibility. So getting the shout out is absolutely the most important thing. But it's good that they're still supporting you because that's kind of my experience when I was in the lower creator program. And then as I moved into the partner program, I expected support to increase or at least remain the same. And it decreased as time went on because I was dramatically increasing the size of my events. And I think that I don't... Like, yeah, I'm in the minority in that case. But again, I didn't feel that PA really... wanted to support in a major way. And I contrast this with AGS. I can't really disclose what I'm talking to AGS about currently, but I'm going to tell you right now, when the announcement goes live for the next big event that I'm running in Throne and Liberty, Pearl Abyss who? They could never. Like, I the amount of support that AGS is offering me just blows anything that Pearl Abyss has ever even attempted. Out of the water, it's not even close. Like, it's not even remotely close. Like, the part, like, and again, that's the thing, is that, like, when they give away outfits and pearls and stuff, like, if you were to run a tournament, and this is how Pearl Abyss handles things, all tournaments are created equal. And I've always thought that this was weird. Like, not all content creators are created equal, but they want to treat everyone equally. So if I run a tournament with a $10,000 prize pool and, like, 100 signups, I'm going to get the exact same support for my tournament as Jaycoon would if he ran a tournament on a weekend for his community. Okay. And we've always, the CM team and I have always butted heads on this particular issue because I don't think that that is good. I think that the support for the, in tournament's case, I believe that the support for the tournament should be based off of the prize pool for the tournament. So if a larger creator like me wants to put on put $50 into a prize pool, well, then I think that Pearl Abyss should put in as much effort as $50 would be equivalent. But if Jay wanted to put on a big, like $5,000 tournament, they should support Jay more than me. Like, that's my take on it. Right. But they've never had that, and we've had our differences, to say the least. But I do think that the support from the program overall has declined over the years, and I don't think that... Obviously, it's on the content creators at the end of the day to create content. I'm the kind of guy that I'm going to run events. I don't care if Pearl Abyss was supporting it or not. Yeah, I'm just going to run it anyway. And I don't think that they liked that very much. They did not like that mentality.
If you're telling me that I can just do this, I'm going to tell you right now, the community's going to get real annoyed seeing my name on that screen.
You just keep doing it.
I'm having fun. Like, I want, like, I feel like not enough people are doing it.
That's
like,
what I did, bro. It's a hack. I'm telling you, you're hacking. Like, the other creators, they don't get it. Like, you're literally, like, you can just run event after event after event, and as long as PA continues to support it, you're just getting massive visibility from them. And it's not about the outfits. It's about that in-game shout-out is so, so important because it gives you visibility, and the other creators they just don't want to do it. And I don't think that Pearl Abyss does a very strong job of trying to encourage their creators to put on events. We used to have things like again, this is partly on the creators, and now I'm going to use an example that I think Jay and Blonde are familiar with. They used to have something called creator codes in the community. Oh, yeah. Like, they would run these events where, like, you could put in a content creator's code at checkout, and a portion of your purchase for in-game pearls would kick back to the content creator. instead of Perlis. Awesome. Yeah, that does sound pretty awesome.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
But it was only for the partners, A, and B, you had to sign a contract that said you had to stream a certain amount of hours per week in a certain amount of time. Okay, and it was not very much. It was like 10 hours a week and like 2 days or something. And we had too many partners half-ass it and shit the bed. Oh, and dude. Essentially, that program has never been brought back to the game since its last inception. And it's tragic because I actually do think that it encourages people to spend money on the game, especially for like a larger creator. Let's say Choice, for example. How many people would feel more comfortable giving Pearl Abyss money if they could, like, if they knew that Choice was at least getting some of it? It would make people feel more comfortable and they would spend more money. Are they giving Choice like X percent of it, like a very, very small percentage of it? Absolutely. But like, it helps Choice, it helps the community, it doesn't really help the community that much, but like, it helps the community spend more money, so it helps Pearl Abyss, and back and forth we go. But too many content creators at the time decided that they weren't going to stream at all for like multiple weeks, or they were going to break the contract or whatever, and they were just going to kind of encourage their friends, like, hey guys, when you spend money, just go ahead and throw my code in there. That does Pearl Abyss no good, and they lost money on it, I think, and they got really upset about it.
See, that is crazy to me that you couldn't wouldn't capitalize on that. Cause like, I'm the type where it's like I feel like I've been given a lot of opportunities. I suck at YouTube, but now that I know that I could do these events, man, I'm going to be running with it, man. I just want to have fun.
Spam it.
It's like, that's crazy to me.
Yep. That's how you get to the partner program, is you just spam events in the creator program and they support you. Then when you get to the partner program, they cut the support altogether and it's on your own.
That's crazy.
I kid. Okay. Elvi, are there any topics that you would like to talk about? Or did we cover them? Like, you have any questions for us or whatever?
Man, there's like so many things because like, it's so cool talking with you guys. Blonde Bear, I'd like to ask you, because I feel like I'm the most unfamiliar with you personally. Nice to meet you. Again,
nice to meet you too. I've lurked in your stream for a very long time. I just don't say anything.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
To do for having it.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I would like to ask you, man, like, from your perspective, like right now, like, I know you said you're not streaming a lot lately, but like, where is there still fun in BDO for you? Like, personally, like, are there things that you enjoy?
For me personally, the only things I'm primarily focused on is going to be hard mode to post Crown Prince, which was one of the boss blitzes introduced like 6+ months ago. The boss blitz in general was something really cool that I was interested in. And then my group that I'm part of, Jay is one of them. We decided we really, really wanted to go hard on to post Crown Prince. So working for like 2 or 3 months, hitting that boss over and over again till we were able to get to the final phase and actually beat the boss, was pretty huge. Probably one of the coolest things ever, because awesome, I told myself when it first came out, I was not interested in this. It's going to be too hard. I'm a chill gamer. I don't want to do that. But, you know, with Jay and Ray being, you know, our primary two carries in our group, it was pretty awesome to be able to do that. So that's the main motivator right now. Another thing I was really, really motivated for was the new dungeon that has unfortunately been like a 3 out of 10 for me. As a huge super fan of the dungeons and lore, it has fallen absolutely short. And then on top of that, the grind spot in the dungeon being a solo grind spot is just another nail in the coffin where it's like, you know, I'm a big group grinder, as Jay said. That's where we met. That's where we flourished as friends, I think. And since then, we've been like literally together since. And it's how I met a lot of friends. I know, like you said, you don't know too much about me. I grinded Olin's for like 2,000 hours. I think I'm like one of the longest merchant ring grinders in
the
game.
That's awesome.
and I went hard and I met like hundreds of people grinding Olin's. And I'm a huge proponent of more group grind spots. I think that we have like a 95% to 5% ratio of like solo spots to group grind spots. And that's been something I've always been like, you know, we should get more of this. And so right now I'm not crazy about BDO. You know, I'm going to log in and do my group content with my friends. And that's the stuff I'm really excited for. I've never been a big PvPer. I'm a huge chill PvE gamer. And I grind treasures. If you don't know, I'm one of the only people in North America who have this item called the Corrupted Elviide.
Like
Exodia from Yu-Gi-Oh! Where you got to collect the five pieces of Exodia.
I've collected some pieces of those, but I don't know what it does.
Yeah, nobody knows what it does. It's an item that's like irrelevant and doesn't matter. So basically you need 9 pieces of like Exodia to form this... LVI'd, and then you need to get a Flame of Corruption from Olin's to corrupt it, and then you use that item on top of a Black Kaffir Stone, which is 8,000 Kaffir Stones mixed with a Dark Rift Remnant. You take those two items to Doramogrim at the bottom of Helm's Deep, and you are able to do a quest that lets you get a base level Fallen God armor, which is very lackluster because it takes...
That's like, yeah, I was like, that's super weird, okay.
It's thousands of hours to grind out all 9 pieces of the LVI'd. It's super, super, okay. super rare.
That makes
rare.
So much more sense, because I got two of the Flame of Corruptions and an Iliad in like 1 hour of Olin's.
Okay, that's kind of crazy. That's pretty cracked.
Yeah, energy. I got him like back. I got him like back to back. And chat was like, what? I was like, I don't know what any of this is, guys. Like, can I sell it?
It's. I think the remnants of those materials is how we were supposed to get Fallen God originally, and then they were like, no, actually, let's just make it stuff that like people can just like convert through a quest line, and then they just left it in the game because it doesn't really make any sense. And when I was grinding really hard for it, because there was I'm the second person I think in the world to get it. The first guy was a guy in EU, and him and I were racing for like literally the last piece. You know, he was the first one to do the quest and show that like it's just a base level Fallen God. A lot of people during the race were like, why isn't it like a Tet or a Pen? How is it a base level? Like, I think at the time you could grind one of the pieces, you'd have enough to buy a Fallen God. Like, so it was very weird, but again, it's like I think it was just a forgotten item. right, a collector's item. So again, back to the original thing, I've have like every legendary collector item in the game. That's a huge proponent. They haven't added anything since the telescope, which was done pretty quickly. I got kind of lucky, but it's just kind of disappointing because like I love the long grinds, because a sentiment you'll feel a lot is that As a new person or someone who's in the gear grind right now, it's like you have so much to do. There's so many grind spots, like you said, you're exploring all these new places. For someone who has played the game like since its inception, you know, the grind spots are cool and that's fun, but like once you've gotten gear, it's kind of like, okay, well, we're getting gear to do the new spot. So once you're in a spot that you like, it's like, you know, new gear is like kind of eh. But as a PvPer, it's kind of motivating, but you could argue that balance has caused an issue where like gear doesn't even matter anymore, or this or that class balance is an issue or whatnot. But for me, treasure grinding has always been a thing. Like grinding for gear has never been like crazy. I don't really care about gear. The collector's items is a huge thing, and they haven't introduced any in like a hot minute. So the only new collector item is killing hard mode deposed crown prince and getting that title, because literally only I think choices group has it currently in NA. So yeah,
we're almost there.
Oh, man.
Two more weeks.
Yeah, we literally have 2 more weeks. This week, so Saturday, and then next Saturday we'll have it.
I
had a question very quickly, since Jay is like the dungeon guy. We didn't talk about the dungeon at all. Jay, what's your opinion of the dungeon? Wait, Elvie, have you done the dungeon?
Yeah, Jay carried me through
it. I did it with.
Of course.
He carried me through that thing, baby. I didn't know what I was doing, but Jay had my back, baby.
I'll tell you what. Good job, Yeti.
Yeah, I one-shot it.
Oh, my God. Yes, he talks to you.
I definitely wasn't PAing at every mechanic with my Mystic.
Jay just talked to you the same way he talks to me. It's like he's like coaching a 5-year-old child how to like put a toy in a hole, but
I remember we used to do the dungeon all the time, like right after the podcast, me, Blue, and Blonde, and I would just be different like, every week. I'm like you combine the same items in the same order every week. 20 weeks.
It became a meme. Blue, he was like, Yeti, so you're gonna combine these two, and I was like, okay, so I put the square in the square hole, we're gonna do like it was over and over. No, I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
In the square hole.
But Jay, I'm curious. Yes. What are your... Blonde did not like the dungeon very much. I have not done it yet because I don't have any friends that want to do the dungeon.
Jay, I have a hot take on dungeons.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Jay, what did you think about the new dungeon as like the dungeon guy?
The dungeon guy. Okay, so I'm a little bit more biased because I've always been biased towards the dungeons, and I enjoyed the boss fight. I think Blonde is a little bit more biased towards hard deposed prince because we've been like working on that a lot. And this was like a big discussion between my chat and I about like, because I just like love yapping about these kinds of types of content, you know, like party like hard party bosses, right? And so I found the boss to be challenging enough that the mechanics feel like you're getting a challenge, but also easy enough that it's not like unfair like some of the mechanics in hard mode deposed prince. Because I don't know if you guys or if any viewers have done hard mode deposed prince, there is a lot of mechanics that's like, you know, you definitely were not like standing in a specific spot. And I think it, you know, I feel like a lot of has to do with like desync and whatnot. There's just a lot of like layers as well, like towards the end of hard mode to post prints, like everything is layered on top of different mechanics that we've encountered before, which is kind of like the combination of that. And I think Blonde wants more of that, which I want more of that too. But also that's very that targets a very small niche audience too, which is like me and Blonde. I don't think there's too many people trying to do hard mode to post prints. Like as Blonde said before, like Choices group is probably one of the few only groups out there with the title, and our group is slowly getting there. So if you guys don't know, the title is 20 boss kills of it. And at the beginning we were only doing one boss kill a week, and then towards the middle, towards like the 10 week mark, when we had 10 tokens, we started doing two clears a week with our main and then our alt, right? And so it's just a very like exclusive thing that not many people would get into. And I think maybe Orzechia was designed in a way that it's a lot more accessible in that way. It's still like the final, it's still the hardest one currently in terms of like your gear and also mechanics. It's actually a pretty long fight. I don't know if you Blonde, if you're paying attention to the length of the fight, but it's actually like a 15 to 20 minute fight, and there is a enrage timer at like around the 30 minute mark. There's like a little message that says, oh, in 5 minutes she's going to absorb the power of the tree or something like that, and then you get one shot and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it from a perspective of being a lot more accessible to people to enjoy. And the rewards are, again, this might be also another biased thing, I got a tri Debreca out of my box, so it's an easy like 12
classic
that we got out of that. But yeah, the rewards were pretty good for me at least.
Yeah, he was flexing that on me when he took me in there. He's like, yeah, you're gonna love this, I got a tri Debo, it's gonna be great, and I got nothing.
Jay, I just
kind of enjoy your base. Sorry, so I, belt?
Oh dude, it was excellent, man. It was so good.
I'm just sorry. You said that the boss fight you thought was good. You thought it was a good boss fight.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought it was challenging enough that it gave you that challenge. Really? But also easy enough.
You think it was
that
challenging?
Get through it.
Jay, the boss fight is extremely intuitive. Garnier figured out half the mechanics, and we know that Garnier's a dent. When you look at the second dungeon where there's like 10 mechanics thrown at you at once, okay, I agree that boss fight is a pain, but nobody cleared it, I think, in the first 24 hours, right? That boss fight took like, I think, 2 days for everybody to figure out dungeon number two, which I would argue that a lot of people are upset about that, and they're like, oh, it's too hard, make it easy.
I think the design of dungeon number two was like, they were trying to, you know how like the, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, they were trying to, I feel like the first
one a little
was
too
like
hot, a little too cold, hot, just
and
right.
A little too cold. And then number three was like just right. And then number four was like a little bit hotter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's how they wanted to approach it as well.
Right. I think that I all three dungeons are like experimental, right? Like the first one is like, can we match colors to pillars? But nobody does those mechanics because we've outscaled that. Number two is like, how many mechanics can we force down at the same time and see if they can actually keep up? And then dungeon number three was like, okay, we'll tone down the mechanics, but we'll extend the boss fight. It's got like three phases. But I mean, I don't know. What was the clear time for the first dungeon three? Like blind? Do we know the time? I can't remember because I wasn't
three
around.
Dungeon three blind.
Was it a day? Did anyone clear it in the first day or 24 hours?
Definitely.
I think so.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Like at least when our group did it, I don't think you were in my first clear group. I think I was in like Vert's first clear group.
I would agree on your commentary that I'm more leaning towards deposed Crown Prince. After waiting, you know, we've already said we waited 4 years between dungeon three and four. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh man, this momentous dungeon's coming out. And the dungeon was so basic and intuitive that like Garnier figured out the mechanics. I think that on maybe a major scale level, that's cool. But there's two difficulties, right? Let that be the normal mode. Let Elvia be something like actually challenging.
That's why I have a hot take on it.
That boss fight was so boring. I'm not going to lie. You're just sitting there. You're DPSing, you're DPSing, you're DPSing. Then it's a mechanic where you just stand in a tree. Okay, you just frontal block it. Okay, not really hard. Okay, then you're DPSing, DPSing. And then you damage a thorn, which makes you immune. And then there's four circles. Okay, I guess everybody's got to go in the circles. And the one guy that's immune does that. I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil the
mechanic. Maybe the perspective is like because you've done hard.
No, I don't think so at all. There's no way. Dude, that dungeon was cleared by like everybody. Who's still struggling on that? We are the only ones other than Choices Group that have done hard mode to post ground firm rights, and everybody's clearing that dungeon, okay? Like, it's
That's
Y'all, y'all ended up clearing it with me in the room. I'm going to be honest. So.
That's what I'm saying. You can, the fact that you can carry it is not a problem. That's cool. But it, the fact that you carry it shows.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, literally. Like, just we were doing that the other day. I did a second run with Ray, and Ray's like telling Netherwing to explain the mechanics, and Nether's like not really saying anything. And I'm like, "Do you want me to say?" He's like, "No, I'll do it." And then he doesn't say anything. And then we do the mechanics fine anyways with someone who's never done it, like just shout casting as soon as it happens, and it's just like,
so that's so cool. That's I'm fine. Thinking this of why you're crashing out right now.
It's over. There's no more.
I think the reason why you're crashing out right now, Blonde, is because your standard was like raised, like the bar was raised with Crown Prince, and because the bar was not the level of Crown Prince is why you're crashing out right now, is what I'm thinking. And I'm looking at it from the perspective of people who don't really do group content that much, and in terms of coordination, like our group, like me, you, Ray, Garnier, and Crimps. Also, another thing that I found like really funny, that's why I was laughing earlier, was you using Garnier as a barometer for how, like, you know, the dentness, how the level of debt this is happening. And speaking of that, I actually can you look at Discord right now? Watch that. I let me upload you something that I drew on stream the other day. I was drawing my friends as memes, and do you know this meme with the woman yelling at the cat? Do you see this? So I drew this with Ray. Where is it here? Being
Chartier Gage.
That woman. Here it is. And then Garnier was on the other side with the dent, and it was just so perfect because I do have to admit, not to be mean to Garnier or anything, but I do think that sometimes there are some like dent moments, and that he anyways, I don't want to get into, but yeah, that was the meme that I made. But yeah, I think just from that perspective is the mechanics were intuitive enough, as you said before, that a lot of people can figure it out, right? It's not just the level of difficulty that Hardmore Prince is, that where you can slowly figure it out, but you're also limited. And I think that's also another big factor of why the dungeon was so much more doable, was because there was an unlimited amount of reses that we could have, right? Because it's only a 5-minute cooldown, whereas Hard Mode Prince, you only get 6 total reses if you take 5 Earth Auras, right? You get the 1 free one, and then you get 1 per Earth Aura that you get. And then those reses are very, precious resources. And
right.
Also, I was there with Blonde during 2020, when before medkits were not able to be used. And once we were able to use medkits, it became significantly easier to do the second dungeon, right? Obviously, we had more gear as well back then, and then the level of scaling of gear is kind of crazy right now. We're almost like, we're above 800 gear score right now for some people in the game. And so that also might be the contributing factor of why, you know, now that we have this fourth dungeon, we have so much gear, we have, you know, unlimited reses this time, and then the mechanics are also not as crazy,
Jay,
as Crown Prince.
Dungeon 4 was too intuitive. It was too obvious what all the mechanics were. That's all I'm upset by, right? I just think that when you look at Dungeon 2, it wasn't as obvious, and it was more of a puzzle to figure out. Dungeon 3 also probably was a lot like that, because it's like, what are these mobs doing? What do we do with this? What do we do with that? This dungeon, the final one, was so obvious. Like, it was not difficult to figure out. Now, I agree that we're a little gear carried, and we do have some good synchronicity, so we were able to clear it very soon. But it was just so basic. It's like, this is the final dungeon. This, I was expecting, like, a little bit of Depose Crown Prince, a little dash of that in there, maybe a little dash of Dungeon 2, maybe the long fight. I do enjoy that. That is something that's awesome. And some of the sort of repeat mechanics. And then I agree the last 5% is insane. But like the pre-dungeon boss, before you get to the final dungeon boss, is cooler than the final dungeon boss. The fact that we like the fucking lizard mummy more than we like the naked woman in the final fight. It's like, come on, man.
Wait, back up.
So
I can understand your passion. They've ever made.
Wait, what was that last? I'm just kidding.
I can understand your passion, Blonde, because like I've played a lot of WoW retail, and like the drastic difference in mechanics and difficulty from even just a heroic raid to a mythic raid is an entirely different universe. Yes. So like, I'm gonna be honest, this is probably not going to help any case. Jay, I had no idea we were doing Elvia. Like, I had no idea that we were doing the hardest difficulty for that dungeon, and we completed it. I didn't realize until, like, we basically killed her that I was like, oh, these are Elvia rewards. Like, I'm going to be honest, you do that in WoW, that's not happening. You're not showing up, and people are like, yo, welcome to Mythic. Like, that doesn't happen. You got to, like, go through, like training. You gotta like be geared. You gotta know everything. And guess what happens when you wipe like 1,000 times in a 4-hour raid night? You're probably not coming back tomorrow because that you had like terrible like numbers. You offered nothing.
When the so global labs
got free boxes,
dude. When the global labs came out, it was like, oh, 350 AP and then 330. I was like, oh wow, the dungeon's actually gonna have like end game requirements. No, the grind spot has harder requirements than the dungeon. What is anybody not seeing the picture I'm seeing?
Hey, like, I'm not gonna lie, I can't even go to the grind spot, but dude, I got free boxes.
Dude, hands we didn't up. Know that the dungeon was gonna have two modes either. We've been like talking about this for weeks, Jay and Blue and I, about like what we only thought it was gonna be just an endgame Elvia dungeon and not a normal. They still have two difficulties. Why would you not make just the normal version semi-hard or whatever the current Elvia is, and then make an even harder version?
That's what I thought. Sure,
maybe my standards, too high because of deposed Crown Prince. However, I don't think that's unreasonable to have at this point in the game. Well, people should have some crazy hard goal to go and push for.
I agree. Finished
it in a day.
Here's the thing. I agree because I'm gonna be honest. Like, you remember I said I have a hot take, Blue?
Yeah.
I think dungeons is the only content that makes me yawn. Like, and it's the only content that I've been a part of where I'm genuinely yawning. Like, I'm tired. Like, I'm kind of bored. And that's only because that, like, I think I've come into the game so late that, like, everyone is geared and it's like, hey, we're just going to skip the mechanics. Oh, okay. Hey, we're just going to skip the mechanics. Oh, okay. And then, like, it's just done. I get my reward and I leave. I've only done all the dungeons like three times. I think that was my third time ever doing it with you, Jay. That's time before that. Zerodin told me, hey, Yeti, you should come join us. And I was like, okay, sure. And it was the same experience. I showed up not knowing shit. And they did everything for me, and I got everything, and it was like kind of an easy experience. I think that if they're trying to capture an audience of dungeon enjoyers like Blonde that are passionate, I think they should make it extremely hard for people that are there who are passionate. I think with a grind spot, they definitely should have made an easier thing for people like me. I'm not geared. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't go there. But hey, if they had a spot that was doable for me, and then they had it like a Dekia or an Elvia spot that was harder for people that can do it, that'd be cool. I think that'd make all the new content like eye candy to everybody in the community rather than 5%. Hot take? Oh, that's my opinion. That's my thoughts.
Planning for the other three to have Dungeon Grind Zones 2 scaling. They just started with the harder one first for whatever reason. But yeah, they are planning from 1 to 4, Valmakia, Sakrakia, Yulanakia, or Zekia being the hardest one. They are adding more grind zones for, you know, scaling down. And I think that the dungeons have a lot of potential to be a really cool thing. Have you ever done like Mythic Plus in World of Warcraft?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was doing that right before this.
Something. Yeah, I feel like you were playing Warcraft earlier. Oh my gosh.
So my in between when I took a break from like just streaming, I was doing a lot of like Mythic Plus.
Mm-hmm. Doing a lot of Mythic Plus. For viewers and listeners who don't know what Mythic Plus is in World of Warcraft, essentially you have your base level dungeon that you do and you learn all the mechanics, and then it scales up in terms of like HP and damage the mobs do. But not only that, every like incremental levels you get extra mechanics, right? And those mechanics shift every week. So 1 week maybe you have a mechanic where every time the mobs die they leave a pool of blood that ticks for a percent of your damage, and so you don't really want to be stacking all the mobs together, because if you kill 10 mobs in one spot and they all drop a pool of blood, you get one shot in like one tick. Or there's a mechanic where any overhealing that you do has to be healed again. So if you heal somebody from 100% HP to 120, you have to first heal that 20% to, you know, it's like that's like your healing mechanic for the one, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like they could do something potentially like that with a game mode. And maybe it's not the dungeons, maybe it's something else in BDO, but I feel like a lot of people would at least I would enjoy that kind of scalability. In terms of like infinite scaling, because you can go infinite with Mythic Plus as hard infinite. As you can. Yeah, like literally.
And infinite, they have achievements and rewards for hitting certain like distances and thresholds. Like Keystone Master is like one of the things that everyone Keystone goes Master, for. Yeah. You get like a mount and a title, but then they have Keystone Hero, which is like leaderboard standards. you know? So like that, it kind of gives like, okay, if you're kind of sweaty, you want to feel accomplished, you can get the master. Mm-hmm. If you're like blonde bear, you're going for hero, you know? So, yeah.
And maybe if they do that for, maybe they don't do it like specifically for the, I think because they're shifting the whole like dungeon into a grind zone, maybe they just do the bosses. So you just have like a level one version of the boss with its base mechanics and then scaling up to have more damage or HP and mechanics, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it definitely has potential to be something more mm-hmm. than it is currently. So
my final word on the dungeon is that I understand I'm not the target audience.
I understand I am not the target.
I am not the target audience. The target audience they want for this content is guy who's gonna log in and either get carried through it or want to mosey on and do their weekly. That's what they're targeting, which is partially me, just with more difficulty. Bro. I understand I'm not the target audience. I'm still just disappointed in the grind spot, the dungeon,
I'm gonna be honest. I think you're the target audience because you're passionate. I don't care about the dungeons at all. So I don't think I got killed. Hands up, caught. Like I don't know shit, man.
Blonde, you are the target, and they missed the mark. That's what it means. They just missed hard on the marker. I want to say, I think the grind zone alongside the dungeon, W. I love the grind zone. And it's funny because, like, I admit that I'm wrong on this because it just so happens that I have just enough gear score that I can do the spot. It's just super high risk for me, like giga high risk. So it encourages me to be like really good at my class, right? And like, I got to showcase it. I was one of the only people showcasing the new spots.
What class were you grinding on?
Dark Knight.
A Dark Knight. Yeah, I think she's
758. Right? Yeah, 758 gear score with a DK. It was spicy meatball.
I think that's like the most fun grinds is when it's like high reward, but like you get to really like embody your class and you have to really try your best to not die.
You have to really clench.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Now that being said, group grind zone would be great too, but I think that them releasing solo content alongside group content is how it should be done in the future. They should release a solo grind zone alongside some group content like the dungeon alongside it, and then they also had the quest line with it. That was really good. I have not done the dungeon yet, so I can't comment on it. I will say that I trust Blonde's opinion on this. I also trust Jay's, but I also think that Jay is always, respectfully, Jay, you're really nice. and you wouldn't tell me if I had a booger in my nose. Blonde is someone that would tell me
if your mic sounded bad.
You look ugly. There is some nasty snot rag hanging out of that little dumpy up there in your face. Okay. So Blonde telling me how it is prepares me for it. And I think that he's probably right. I'm going to try it. I'll try it now. Now I'm curious, but I'll give it a go. I was going to give it a go, but then I didn't have a group for it and I was banned on Twitch. And I was like, well, I don't really want to do it when I'm not streaming, right? Because then, like, it's good content. Yeah. I kind of missed the hype train on that. So I'll give it a go and see what happens, find a group to do it with. But, like, I trust Bond on this. If the mechanics are really that easy and it really was cleared in a matter of hours once it released, that's not good. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now that, like they're aiming at like Destiny like level. I know because when they came out with the first one, they asked me in my job interview for them like how they could go after Destiny 2's player base, and we were talking about the dungeon, the Ataraxian, that hadn't come out yet in there, and they were going after like they wanted it to be kind of like Destiny's raids, which is Destiny's best content, only good content. But like, they've clearly missed the mark here. If it was figured out that quickly and done that fast, it's just not. I think that, and I also didn't realize that it's just like the normal stuff where it's like you have like the normal and then the Elvia difficulty and you're just speed running it. When they announced it, I could have sworn, like Blonde said, it was going to be like an 800 gear score monolith on Elvia. And then there was going to be like a normal version that is kind of like the Elvia is now for like players that are like 740 gear score or higher, right? Like, but like then there was going to be like a really hard difficulty, like Deposed Crown Prince. Nah, bro. People just speed ran that shit in like 3 hours and then that was it, man. Holy moly. Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Hey, I did make a crystal, Jay, so thank you for speedrunning me through it. I have one of the new crystals now, and I didn't really do anything, so that's excellent. Thank you.
All right, well, we...
Good luck to everybody else with your pre-orders.
Okay, closing thoughts. We've been going for, like, literally an hour and 40 minutes or something. So we're going to do closing thoughts here at the end. We'll go with Jay first.
Closing thoughts. First, thank you, Yeti, for coming onto the show.
Absolutely,
for the podcast,
man.
It was a really awesome time having you here. I remember, so Yeti was like DMing me, "Oh my god, I'm so nervous. Like, I'm probably more nervous than Yeti. Every episode, the past 81 episodes, I've always been the more nervous one and have trouble with speaking. But like, you were a natural, so you did a great job.
Thank you. Worry, it's very different for me. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for coming on. And yeah, closing thoughts. Being a content creator, if you guys, I think that would be a good like comment thing. Like, guys, if you guys have any questions about like being a content creator, this would be the episode to ask it on. We read the comments every time. And I've also been working really, really hard in securing guests for each episode. I have another guest secured for next Wednesday. It'll be a surprise who it is, but yeah, it'll be. We'll have a guest like every week until I run out of guests to bring on this show. But yeah, my name is Jaykun VT, V before the T, and you can find me on twitch.tv/JaykunVT, V before the T.
Okay. All right, right on. Thanks, Jay. Was that TV? Yeah,
VT.
Yeah, right. That's right.
V before the T.
Blonde, closing crash out. I mean, comments.
Closing crash.
You can catch me at twitch.tv/blondbear, where sometimes I'll stream our Hardwood to Crows Crown Prince or our dungeon runs. My final thoughts is, content creation is interesting. And, you know, if you're ever thinking about it, always try it. And, you know, you never know what it's in store for you. And Dungeon was 3 out of 10. I'm supremely disappointed. And I will still be farming it every week because they put a best in slot crystal behind it. So I have no choice.
Okay. And Elvie, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, being our special guest. We really appreciate you. I'll get you another mods. If we could get him a shout out in the chat, that'd be great.
Thank you, buddy.
Why don't you give yourself a shout out real quick?
All right. So my name is Elvie Yeti. A lot of people call me Liv Yeti. You're wrong. My name is Yeti. Would be preferred. That'd be dope. You can call me Elvie. You can call me Elvie Yeti. Okay. I had an amazing time in this podcast. It's been awesome talking with you again, Blue. It's been a while since you and I have had like opportunity to speak. Jay, I just hung out with you. You're a new friend of mine, and I appreciate you. And it's been awesome hanging out with you again.
Thanks for carrying me through the dungeon. Right on. Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, hey, squares, those are the square hole. Appreciate that. Okay, and then Blonde. Makes friends. Blonde, it's nice talking with you, man. It's really awesome to see your perspective because you're like in a different realm in the game. I'm way too lazy and way too dented to do any of that stuff that extremely. So it's very cool to see your experiences through that. And you guys can find me at twitch.tv/LVYeti. My stream consists of a lot of just loud noise, randomness, and just vibes, man. We're doing something random almost every single day. I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing, but I'm here for 14 hours too many times during the week. So you guys can check me out there. I have an event tomorrow. It's a hide and seek event. So we have the sign up form over here. So come check that out. And I'm having fun, and I play a lot of classes. I have to say that because my chat would be mad if they said, "Hey, you didn't tell them you play every class in the game every day." So yeah, they call me LV Reroll. I don't know what you want from that. So
right on. All right. Yeah. And I'm Blue Squadron. Remember to like the video. You have literally been watching for an hour and 40 minutes. Like the goddamn video. What do we have to do? Anyway, drop comments down below so that we can see who you'd like to have on the podcast in the future, your thoughts on our takes on the podcast and our discussion here. Remember, the podcast always is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I now have 2 YouTube channels and 2 Twitch channels. My second YouTube channel is, they'll be linked in the video description, but it's for short form content, Blue Squadron Clips, shorter form content. So you have shorts and then the shorter summary videos. If you don't have time to watch my like 2-hour yapping video, videos. It's a great place to pick that up. And then there's Blue Squad Chill. I stream there Monday, Tuesday, so I now stream every single night of the week for the most part. Blue Squad Chill is completely demonetized, but I play any game that I want, whenever I want, however I want. So no subs, no ads, and I can play whatever music I want in whatever category I want. So if that sounds interesting to you, check that out. I will say that the best outfit here by far is the Sork in the top left. Her hair is absolutely killing it. The tattoo I'm f***ing with. And then the color scheme is absolutely spot on. All right. From all of us here. Wait, do you guys want to give your favorite costumes?
Sure.
No. I'm going to tell you. No. That was too much of a pause. Okay. All right, Jay. Jay, give your favorite outfit.
I really like this character beside me in the purple, right? They're leaning beside me here. Like it's a nice Dark Knight outfit, I think. Yeah, with the purple rose.
Oh, that's me. Okay, right on. I was like, where is Jay? I can't see his name. Oh, right on. Yeah. Dude, yeah. Jay with the based take. My DK is so cute. I get it. Blonde, which boy are you gonna like this time? Blonde always likes the guys, bro.
Dude, the Dosa with the Berserk outfit, that guy is so clean. I'm so glad someone showed up in that today because it looks so good.
The most humble.
So good.
LV, what's your favorite outfit?
Other than mine?
Okay.
My bad. So I think I like the... I kind of like the little ranger down there.
Little ranger
at the bottom right. Yeah, the ranger at the bottom right. It's kind of hard to see. There's, you know, like there's people in the way.
You mean the homeless person?
I like the vibe.
I thought this was a Deadeye because she had the thing on. It's a ranger with the
PLA it's a ranger, outfit. The sovereign bow. It's solid.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's solid.
I love that. Also, the bandana that it indicates to the rest of us that you have COVID and or are sick is ridiculous. Stop buying it. It was absolutely ridiculous. Obnoxiousness. Aren't you mentioned
I'd buy
before?
It again.
Oh, my God. Anyway, if you like it, you got it. All right. I love you guys. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.